The Runner by Stephen Leather, read by Laura Kerman. Chapter 1. Carlos Martinez let the crowbar in his hand swing to and fro. Blood dripped onto the concrete floor, and several drops splattered onto his gleaming loafers.
"Now look what you have made me do," he growled in Spanish.
He glared at the man in front of him.
"Do you have any idea how much these fucking shoes cost?"
The man mumbled incoherently. His name was Jesus Rodriguez, and he was as close to death as a man could be while still breathing. He was naked, tied to a metal chair, his head slumped on his chest.
"Chinga tu madre," said Martinez. "You steal from me, and this is what happens."
One of Martinez's men was filming everything on his phone. Rodriguez wasn't being killed just for revenge or out of anger. He was being killed as a warning to others. No one stole from Martinez. No one. The video would be proof of that. Martinez swung the crowbar again, this time against the right knee, which cracked with the sound of a snapping twig. Rodriguez grunted. His eyes were closed now. Martinez nodded at one of his men standing by the sink. The man walked over with a bucket of water and dumped it over Rodriguez. It cascaded over him and splattered over the tiled floor, then ran in bloody rivulets towards a drain. The room they were in had been designed for torture. It was windowless and soundproofed and could only be reached through a secret door in Martinez's huge wood-paneled wine cellar. The wine cellar was in the basement of his sprawling mansion on the outskirts of Mexico City, set in grounds patrolled by men with automatic weapons and surrounded by high walls topped with razor wire and covered by CCTV cameras. Not that Martinez was expecting unwanted visitors. He had dozens of judges and hundreds of cops on his payroll, and he knew well in advance when any sort of operation was being mounted against him. There were fluorescent lights in the ceiling, a large sink with taps and a hose attachment, and several drains in the white-tiled floor. The walls were tiled like the floors and dotted with hooks, and there were a half a dozen chain pulley systems hanging from a heavy girder that ran across the ceiling. A sound system had been placed on a table against one wall. Sometimes, Martinez liked to work with music blaring from massive Wharfdale speakers. He had been beating Rodriguez for almost an hour. He'd used his bare hands at first, punching him left and right. Then he'd used a cutthroat razor to remove an ear, and bolt cutters to take off a couple of toes. Initially, Rodriguez had begged for mercy, but there was no mercy to be begged for. It was only ever going to end one way, and nothing Rodriguez could say or do would change that. Martinez didn't care about the drugs that Rodriguez had stolen. The theft was less than 1/1000th of 1% of his monthly turnover. It was nothing. It wasn't the amount that mattered. It was the principle. And the principle was that anyone who was caught stealing from Carlos Martinez would die, and die horribly. It wasn't the first time that Martinez had beaten a man to death, and it wouldn't be the last. Despite the warnings, there was always someone who thought it was worthwhile to take the risk. Martinez walked over to a table next to the sound system. On it was a bottle of Domaine Lerat Clos de Vougeot Grand Cru, one of his favourite wines. He had half a dozen cases, and each bottle cost more than $2,000. He had already drunk half the bottle, and he sloshed more wine into his glass. As he raised the glass to his lips, a mobile phone rang, and Martinez looked around, annoyed at the interruption. The phone was in the pocket of Arturo Garcia's jacket, and he grimaced apologetically.
"Sorry, patron,"
he mumbled as he hurried out of the room. The man who had poured water over Rodriguez started slapping his face back and forth. When Rodriguez remained unconscious, the man turned to Martinez and shrugged.
Él está muerto, patrón.
Martinez nodded, checked that the camera was still filming, put down his glass, and then brought the crowbar down on the unconscious man's head with all his might. The skull split open like a ripe melon, and brain matter splattered across the floor. He raised the crowbar again, and the second blow obliterated what was left of the top of the skull. Martinez stood staring at the carnage he had caused, breathing heavily. He wiped his mouth with his shirt sleeve.
Fuck you, and fuck your family,
he said. He spat at the corpse. Garcia reappeared.
Patron,
he said, holding up the phone.
What?
Shouted Martinez, and Garcia flinched.
Patron, it's Javier, said Garcia. There is a problem in London.
Martinez growled, tossed the bloody crowbar onto the floor, and snatched the phone from Garcia's shaking hand.
Do I have to do everything myself? He snarled.